That's some tough teaching and training that Jesus gave to his disciples and even us. We are like they were in that day. We are living in an evil world. And we have evil, good and evil. We wouldn't have to worry about it if they didn't disobey back in Genesis and partake of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that entered into the world, and we deal with it yet today. Thank God we have the Holy Spirit in us that helps keep us straight. The evil one over here is always messing with us. The evil one can't read your mind, but he can play tricks on your mind. And then we have the Holy Spirit over on this side keeping us straight. So we're in the world, not of the world, as Jesus said. So while we're here, we've got to deal with this worldly stuff. A popular expression, as I mentioned, when people are trying to get a group of people to do something or do something like that, where we all have different preferences and agendas and initiatives, and we really have no interest in somebody ruling over us, and you get together with all these individuals and somebody will say, you know what? That's like trying to work with this group is like herding cats. What does that phrase mean? It reflects on the independent nature of cats. Often in comparison to dogs, dogs don't have that independent behavior like cats do, who tend to behave more amicably rather than being obedient. You can train a dog to be obedient. Now, Charles says he can train the cat that he has, and sometimes that cat listens to him, but sometimes he does it. Own thing. So if you are a cat owner or you know somebody who's a cat owner, you know that cats cannot be coerced. It goes inherently against their nature. Because the more you try to coerce a cat, the more it'll resist and demand its own way. Oh, you can try to entice it and lure it and connect with it on an emotional level. But you likely won't succeed trying to control a cat. Now try to get 10 of these sweet little furry independent-minded creatures together to serve a common interest. Not likely to happen. But I did find out, because we have an outside cat, and he won't let you come near him, he won't let you pet him, and if you turn the light on the porch or try to go out, and he just runs away. So Judy feeds him and got a little place there on the porch with food and water, and go out there in the evening and he's nowhere to be found. She puts the water and the food down and she'll say, here, kitty, 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 here, kitty, kitty, kitty. And all of a sudden you look out the door and there it is, eating. And he'll stand there and sit down like cats do and just stare at you, but he won't let you touch him. So I think that these cats have supersonic hearing that sometimes is switched on in their brain when something appears for them to eat. I think cats are not only creatures with minds of their own, but parents sometimes also now know the challenge of getting toddlers to eat broccoli or a teenager to clean their room. If the desire and motivation is there, no amount of coercion will turn their head to benefit of either eating broccoli or cleaning your rooms. So how do you deal with all kinds of parenting issues? Because it is Father's Day, and we just came off of Mother's Day not long ago, but you need a mom and a dad to become parents, to raise the children. If you entice your kids, or you present something and you try to explain things to the kids, you show them the benefits of doing this particular activity or building a relationship with them where they trust you and believe you, and then you give it a shot. Okay, it may happen, it may not. And sometimes when it doesn't, there are times when you just have to let it go. Because we're all come into this world with our own mindset and our own personality. And you can try to teach children the same way, and you love them and you try to train them, but sometimes later in life, especially when you get a little older, you just got to let it go. Let go and let God, as they say. When I was younger, I didn't like vegetables too good, and I used to hide them, and Mom always found them, and then she made me eat them. I had a brother that really didn't like peas, and he would gag when he'd get the peas, but little by little, she finally gave in, and she found him a vegetable that he would eat. Now, these instances of life are concerning sometimes in regard to a one task desire to do something. But imagine if you get 8 to 20 of these kind of children with their own ideas, which we did in, when we had the youth group on, with their own ideas and their preference or minds of their own to engage in a common goal. Well, that goal is the goal of every teacher and every parent when they have more than one child at a time. It's also a challenge for those in business, having groups, and yes, even churches, when dealing with very different people with different personalities and interests and ideas and proposed goals. So how do you get a group to go in the way of the company or the family or even the church's mission? It's not about coercion. It's not about control. It's not about winning approval. It's not about forcing an outcome. So when people are running in different directions with different motivations and different intentions, it does no good to try to command them into a common direction. It's futile to try to control outcomes. So when you try to attempt this difficult and impossible task of herding cats, you become more frustrated and spend more time trying to herd and lead people than leading a project or a mission. There was one writer who talked about cats, how you can raise cats and so forth, and he said, nobody wants to own a cat because the cat won't let you own them. So how do you encourage people together in mission? That's what Jesus was talking about as we read that scripture. Encourage them into a common direction. Now Jesus addressed this in the scripture that we just looked at today, helping his apostles understand how to guide or shepherd herd. That's a hyphenated word, not shepherd, but shepherd herd. People with little or no knowledge of Christ in his new way to be baptized in his name to form communities of faith in which we serve and honor each other, live with a common goal and to operate out of a brand new ethic and identity. If we think about it for a moment, it's really a tall order. Jesus is about to send out his 12 apostles to do just this. And here's what he told them. He infused them first with power to do the job, and then he gave them the following advice. I'll paraphrase a little bit to what we read in the scripture. He said, as you go, proclaim the good news. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, give without payment. In other words, do work, but don't expect to get paid. Take nothing with you, but be at the mercy of those who seek to build a relationship with. In every town and village, stay with somebody. If that person welcomes you and your message, bless them. If they don't, shake the dust off your feet as you leave and move on. And then he goes on to say, this is a dangerous mission, guys. Many people are going to hate you. Now, who would want to go out on a mission with that kind of training? This is a dangerous mission. Many people are going to hate you, but don't worry. You'll be amply rewarded in the end for delivering this important message. You know, that's what the book of Revelation is all about overcomers. Because if we overcome, then we're going to be blessed with Jesus' return and reward. So what Jesus was telling them that they cannot herd cats by trying to control them. You can't control people, places, or things. I've come to find out you can't. You just can't. You got to let it go. They must first feed them. That's what, you know, one of the biggest things of enticing people to come to church, oh, we're going to have a covered dish dinner after church. And sure enough, you know, you get more in attendance then than you do normally. You got to feed them. That's why old Wesley, well, not Wesley, this is one of Rousey's things that I picked up, that I did. I forgot what I was going to pick up. Oh, when the method is met, the method is at, and if they hadn't at, they've never met. Think about that. That's so true. And you can put just Christians in there or any church. So you got to build relationships. And there's not a better way to build a relationship than breaking bread together. Take nothing with you, he told them. But give them food, and then healing, and then raising, and then proclaim. So what did Jesus tell Peter that he would be the rock and the shepherd of the church? He said, Peter, feed my sheep. And he also said, herald, help, and heal. Not herd, hate, or handle. So we think about that. That's the secret of true shepherding in the spirit of Jesus. Herald, help, and heal. Do not herd, hate, or handle. I don't think anybody, especially with people that's very set in their ways, for lack of a better term, or they have their own mind about things, about ideas, about thoughts and goals, wants to be herded or controlled blindly. People won't budge if presented with hate. And nobody wants to be handled. Treat them as a commodity or as mere pawns. Another person's goal, you won't get anywhere with them. But if you truly want to present somebody with a better way, you herald them, you call them, you help them, you heal them. You tell them the good news that could change their minds and make their life better and more peaceful and more beautiful. You got to help them in their daily lives and build relationships of trust and true caring. That's what we're called to do. Jesus is the good shepherd. And he does not pretend to love the sheep. He loves the sheep. The good shepherd truly does love the sheep. We are all sheep, according to what the scripture said, and we are all sheep in his pasture. And we all, like Isaiah said, we're like sheep and we all have gone astray. We need the good shepherd. And everything from that loving relationship with Christ, that loving intent, and then finally heal us. Now we think about healing only in the physical sense, but there's spiritual healing that needs to take place. Their lives need to be changed, and we need to help them and feed them along the way in real and tangible help. So when Jesus traveled during his lifetime and ministry throughout all the regions of the Jewish and Gentile world at the time, he was in search of lost sheep. He never commanded. But if we think about it, he never attempted to coerce people into thinking the way that he did and what he did or what he would want us to do. I had a father-in-law that said something to me one day when I was getting ready to go into ministry. And he said, you know, if you convince a person against their will, they'll be of the same opinion still. So we don't have to coerce anybody into coming into a love relationship with the Lord Jesus. Because if you try to convince them or try to sway them over or do something like that, most of the time they'll just leave and they'll be of their same opinion and they may or may not accept Christ into their life. Jesus healed Everywhere that he went, he healed, he raised the dead, and he pointed always to the majesty of God the Father, and spoke for the power and the presence of God to be available in everybody's life. He provided food, both physical and spiritual. Now, he did take the food from the little kid's lunch, but he blessed it and multiplied it, and at the end said 5,000 and picked up a whole bunch of leftovers. This is the message that I think all of us need to get across as we try to build the church and have people come and to enjoy the fellowship of the kingdom of God, and to proclaim that message that Jesus truly does love us. He died on the cross for the forgiveness of sin. Some will listen, some won't. That's just the reality of the world we live in. But we don't want to try to control the outcome. Plant seeds. That's the best way to do it, is just plant seeds. And the best place to plant them is right in your own household, your own children, your own family, your aunts, uncles, nieces, because, you know, if you just plant a seed of love with somebody and let God take care of the rest. Scripture says that Paul planted, Apollo watered, and God gave the increase. Always share and plant seeds. Well, it's Jesus' message that we proclaim. His evangelistic method, if you will, works the same today as it did those 2,000 plus years ago. Because we live in a divisive culture. I don't know if you noticed that or not. The culture we live in today in the United States of America is very divisive. As always, through the ages, people will think independently. They will have their own ideas. They will have their own religions. They will have their own beliefs and their own goals and agendas. And we'll never succeed in convincing them of our way, or the church's way, or even Jesus' way, or a common way. Because Jesus' message is not about convincing, it's about convicting. The old-time preachers of years and years ago in the front row of the church, they called it the anxious thing. And they would get people that they knew that were demons and so forth, and they'd get them sitting on the front row, and they would keep browbeating until they finally convicted and come to the altar. Well, that's not the way to do it either, but you don't have to have anybody convict you, because the Holy Spirit will do the conviction. The Holy Spirit does the teaching. The Holy Spirit allows us to be able to learn, love, and be able to give freely with all the gifts that we have. I'm going to start a series July the 3rd, first Sunday in July, and I hope because one of the things about the Holy Spirit, we don't talk about the Holy Spirit that much. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He is the person. Now, Jesus is home with the Father. We know he's not here in the physical sense anymore. But the Holy Spirit is. And I don't know how long it'll take, but I'm going to try to share with you what the Holy Spirit does and what the Holy Spirit will do in your life. It's a personal thing, this Holy Spirit, and it's available to you. The peace that passes all understanding that Jesus talked about is when you let the Holy Spirit in your life. And when you accept Christ, you don't get him in pieces. You're getting God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So we'll never succeed in convincing people about a particular church's way or a common way. But through the demonstration and through the gifts of healing and wholeness, life-changing assistance in a lot of ways, non-judgmental empathy is what we need to be about, and understanding. Jesus' message, which is God's message for humankind, has never been about control. Do you notice that he doesn't force himself upon you? If you want to believe in God, he wants you to believe in him. He wants to love you, but he's never going to force you to love him. It's never been about control, but about redemption. Never about force, but about free will. In Jesus' sacrifice, he offered all of us a better way. a way of peace and love and salvation and kingdom collaborative spirit. He showed us what it would look like through his actions, his humility, his healing, and his sacrificial love. That's why he was raised from the dead, to break that bondage over sin and death. That's the whole thing that Satan still does, would browbeat you with. Oh, you're surely going to die. But through the resurrection and the promise coming again, we have hope of something much better ahead. Now that's a message that'll sell. Eternal life. Who wants to take this earth suit with them to heaven? You know, but while we're here, we got to do the work that Jesus called us to do. This is the way to shepherd God's people. This is the way to be a Jesus disciple and apostle. Apostles, nothing more than people teaching. So parents, today in our culture, we celebrate. We celebrated Mother's Day a few weeks back. Today we celebrate Father's Day. And fathers are an important part of the family. And I pray that all of our fathers demonstrate the peace, the understanding of human nature as our Heavenly Father today helps us to understand His love and His grace and His teaching. Build relationships with your children. Teach them the way of Jesus by living that way yourself. Let Christ be reflected in your life. Share with them your faults, because God knows we all have them, and mistakes, and then tell them how God has gifted you with grace and love and understanding and forgiveness and the ability to forge a new way. Listen to them. Heal them. Pick them up when they fall. Put your arms around them and love them. Put a band-aid on the scratch. Guide them, more importantly. And then feed them. Feed them with all the love you can muster. And they will always respond to love. So as we go forth on this Father's Day, my prayer is that God will bless you in your mission. We all have a mission. We all have an assignment. God will never call us home until we complete the assignment that He has for us. I'm convinced of that. Bless your family. Bless your churches everywhere. Bless your communities. And more important, bless your world. Because this is our Father's world. If you'd stand, we'll sing that last song. This is my Father's world.